Good morning. Hope you're doing well this morning. Turned back a little bit chilly on us again. It's Randy's type of weather. My type of weather, actually. We're going to continue the Sermon on the Mount today. And like I said in the prayer, this is one of the most quoted scriptures today. Unfortunately, it's one of the most misused scriptures today as well. Let's just read Matthew 7, 1, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Jesus says, "Do not judge, so that you will not be judged." Boy, people love reading that verse, but they never read the verses after it. They never look at what else Jesus said about it, but they love to quote that. They love to put that out. They love to let people know, hey, don't judge me. They say that because they don't want people looking at their life or pointing out that they are doing wrong. They want to live life how they want to live it. They don't want to feel bad. To me, when people quote this scripture, it's an easy way to shut others out of our life using Jesus as the reason. Which ironically is exactly what Jesus is speaking against here. Jesus knows we are meant to live in community and with other people. And so what Jesus is actually speaking against here is people who pass final judgment on others without giving them a chance to change. This is one of those things that if you don't really dive into what Jesus said here, it looks like Jesus contradicts himself. Because in John 7:24, here's what Jesus said. "Do not judge by the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So how did he say, "Do not judge"? And then here in John 7:24, he's telling us to judge with righteous judgment. Even later on, in the very same chapter, in the same Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And when he says you will know them by their fruits, it means you'll know them by their outward actions, by what they're producing in their life. How are you going to look at a person or know a false prophet if you're not going to judge their fruits? He calls us to judge. You are actually encouraged to judge. But yet, in our culture today, the word judge just seems like such a bad word. It has a negative connotation to it. I think when we think of judging, I'm 30 years old now, so this is back in my day. I think when we think of judge, we think of American Idol. We think of someone being like Simon Cowell and being mean to us. This is Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, and Randy Jackson. Is that right, Randy? Randy Jackson. I couldn't remember his name, and we had to look it up. Brother from another mother. All right. 10-4. But I think when we think of judging, we think of people like this. And I always remember Simon used to be so mean. And now on America's Got Talent, I have that photo too. He's not as mean as he used to be. But on that one, he was the bad judge. So I think when we think of judging, we think of people like that. Or Randy's favorite TV show, Judge Judy. And my mom's, I knew you watched it. We think of Judge Judy, and Judge Judy is not a nice lady. Judge Judy gets up there, and she will let them have it. I don't know if y'all have seen here in the last few years, they have a Judge Steve Harvey, and that one's just silly. But then nowadays, we have America's Got Talent. That's one of mine and Sarah's favorite shows that we watch during the summer. And there's their judges, Howie Mandel, Heidi Klum, Clean, whatever her name is. I don't remember, Sophia something. Vergara, and then Simon Cowell, of course, and then Terry Crews. You love their glasses. We're going to get you some of those, Randy. That one right there, Harry Potter. When we think of judging, we think of it in a negative connotation. But, you know, judging can actually be good or bad. Judging is how we make decisions in our life. You judged on the way here. You've probably judged while you've been here. We all make judgments every day, especially about other people. We judge when we come across someone, what mood they're in. We judge our coworkers based off their trustworthy, reliable, helpful, etc. We judge people in our life to see whether we should get closer to them or whether we should distance ourselves from them. Judging is also how we determine danger. If you saw someone in a dark alley with a knife, you would judge that that person probably means to do harm and you need to stay away. Judging is how we determine friends. You judged your friends to see whether you wanted them in your life or not. So judging is a part of life, and even though it looks like on the surface, Jesus is telling us to stop judging completely, that's not what he is saying. See, Jesus wants us to know that when we judge, it must be done with the right heart. That's kind of my thesis statement for today. In other words, when we judge, we should have the right reasons behind our judgments. And we'll talk about what that looks like towards the end. But Jesus, he tells us do not judge. And then he tells us the type of judgments that are wrong. So let's first start off with the type of judgments that are wrong that Jesus would frown upon. The first one is what I'm calling condemning judgments. You should not judge to condemn someone. Condemn means to sentence them, to basically say they are guilty and there's no hope of change. You might notice, this is an interesting fact. No, you did change it, didn't you, Zach? Hey, as I was working through the sermon, I initially had sent Zach judgment spelled J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N-T-S. That's not right. That it is right in the UK, though. But this is the U.S. English version. For some reason, we spell it differently. So my joke was going to be, but now Zach ruined it, is that just in case we had any UK friends watching, we're just going to have it for UK and then U.S. version. But Zach ruined it. He fixed it. But Canva corrected me while I was working this morning. But when we judge someone, this is exactly what Jesus is speaking against here. We don't condemn them. That's not our job. You know the only person that can make a final judgment on somebody is God. That is not our job to make a final judgment on someone to say, hey, this is who they are. There's no hope for them. Be done with them. When you are doing that, you are taking God's spot. And that's a sin. You may be making condemning judgments on people if you act like there is no hope for them after you make that judgment. So do you look at someone and then choose to wipe your hands clean of them? In other words, you're saying, hey, there's no hope for this person to improve or to be a better person. I think we are very guilty of doing this with drug addicts, for example. There's some people that make a judgment that they're a drug addict and there's no hope for them. And so when they would make a condemning judgment, instead of trying to help them or teach them or to lead them to Jesus, they let them be, they look down on them, they frown upon them. That's a condemning judgment. That's leaving them where they are at. There are people who make condemning judgments today. But we can't make a condemning judgment because we don't know the whole story. We don't know their background. We don't know what's going on the inside and their heart. We aren't God. When you make a condemning judgment, you aren't being just. We serve a just God who knows everything about us, so he's the only one that can really make a true judgment. And one day he will make a judgment on all of us, a final judgment of all final judgments. But we're not to do that. And that's exactly what Jesus is speaking against here. The second type of judgment that we are not to make is unreasonable judgments. And what I mean by that is unattainable judgments. Matthew 7:2 says this, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So the way you judge is how you're going to be judged. Whatever you use to measure someone is how you will be measured. So who's doing the judging of us in this case? It's God. Jesus is saying is the same way that you judge, the standard of measure you use is what God is going to use against you. I think the best example of this is when someone has such a high measuring stick that you can't do anything wrong. And if you do anything wrong, they're wiping their hands clean of you. That's a judgment of lacking mercy. That's someone who lacks mercy. And if you lack mercy with others, guess who's going to lack mercy with you? God. That is what Jesus is saying here. If you use this high standard of measurement, God's going to use that same standard of measurement with you. There's other people that you know and might be in your life that expect you to serve them hand and foot. That you are their servant and you're there to take care of them. And if you're not doing it to their standard, they don't want nothing to do with you. That's a standard of measurement that is too high. You probably can think of other things that applies here. Anything that someone has to measure up to in order to be in your life is what Jesus is speaking against. When we have these high standards of measurement that people have to live up to, that's an indication that there's some pride in our life that needs to be dealt with. That we feel like they have to reach a certain level to be in our life. We better be careful because God's going to use that same measurement with us. So, for example, if you don't want anything to do with someone who does any wrong, if they do one thing wrong or two things wrong and you just wipe your hands clean of them, God's going to do the same thing with you. Do you ever do anything wrong? Yeah, we all fall short of the glory of God. God's going to reject you then if you reject others. Do you serve God hand and foot? No. We don't serve them all the time like we should. So why would we hold other people to those standards? You may be making unreachable judgments on people if you don't have many close people in your life. If you don't have many people close to you in your life, my question for you is your measuring stick too high? Do you lack mercy and grace for people? Do you expect more from people than they can actually give? Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. If so, Jesus would say this type of measurement is wrong. The third type of measurement that Jesus is speaking against is hypocritical judgments. You probably have heard this passage thrown out there, Matthew 7:3-5. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So the speck and log, initially I was going to teach this, that the speck that you see in your brother's eye would be a small sin that they have in their life, something small that's wrong in their life. That you're going to look at that and you're going to want to deal with that. And the log is some type of big sin in your life. But then I thought about it. The closer you get to something, the bigger it appears, right? So the log might not be some big sin. It might actually be a speck. But because it's in your life, it's big. It looks huge. It should look like a log. And so what Jesus is saying here is that you need to be focusing on your life. You need to look at your own life before you start looking at everybody else's. Don't make judgments about others when you haven't even taken the time to look at yourself. You know, this world would be a better place if we stopped trying to find everything wrong with other people and instead started focusing on what's wrong with us, because we have logs in our life. We have things that we need to work on, but we would rather focus on everybody else's. So we got to look at ourselves first, see if there's anything in our life that shouldn't be there. There's someone I know that is real bad about looking for problems in small places. So they're constantly searching things on the internet to try to find something wrong that someone else is saying. And as soon as they see it, they jump on them. Or they'll even screenshot it and have it just in case they need it later for evidence that they're against someone. I kind of think we call them trolls on Facebook. You know, they're constantly looking for something in order to try to point out where someone else is wrong. I've got to wonder why people put so much energy into trying to find what's wrong with other people. So much of their focus is put on looking at other people. You know, one way to check in our life to see if we're making hypocritical judgments is if we use others to make ourselves feel better. Have you ever done that? Looked at someone else and said, at least I'm not as bad as they are. I have. Or you choose to look at other people so that you don't look at yourself and see how bad you really are. I've done it. I think we've all been guilty of this type of judgment. The truth is, though, we are all bad. We're all in need of a Savior, and we need to be examining our own life more than we are examining the life of other people. Because if we will take the time to actually look at our life, we may see that we've gotten so off track that we need to repent. You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' time were really, really bad at this. He tells a story in Luke 18, 10 through 14. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and began praying this in regard to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, crooked, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Look at me, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to raise his eyes towards heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, we read that and we're thinking, man, what an arrogant person that Pharisee was. But you know, that's exactly what people do today. Hey, at least I'm not like them. At least I'm not like that homeless person. At least I'm not like that person on the street. At least I'm not like that liberal. At least I'm not like that fill in the blank of someone that we look down upon. At least I'm not like them. That's a hypocritical judgment that we are making most of the time just to make ourselves feel better, to try to make sure that we're not looking at our life to see where we have sinned. So the way that we make sure we don't make hypocritical judgments is that we look at ourselves first. And we're getting ready to talk about how to make a good judgment. What's the type of judgments that God does want us to make? So what does that look like? I'm going to break it down into three different sections, but it really could be one full sentence, a run-on sentence, but it really could be full sentence. But our judgments should be, number one, according to God's word. When we talk about what the measuring stick is, this is the measuring stick. Not anything else that we want to throw in there. We've got to make righteous judgments. That's what he said in John 7:24. Make a righteous judgment. In Matthew 7:16, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Well, how do we know what is righteous and how do we know what fruit is? We look at this measuring stick. This is the measuring stick that we look at. We look at what it says in the Word of God to see what type of judgment we should be making. We like to use all types of measuring sticks, though, like judging people by where they live. They are a country hick. Or they're a city slicker. You look at a city slicker and you're thinking they're going to be fancy. They're going to be dressed up. They're not going to be dressing like Randy, you know. And you look at a country hick and you think they're going to be dumb. That they don't know anything about life. That they have never went out and actually lived and experienced things. That's a judgment. That's a measuring stick that we shouldn't be using. The Word of God doesn't lean one way or another on who lives in the country and who lives in the city. How about this? This is really bad in this area. We judge people based off who their family is. What is your last name? People, there's a lot of people that have the same last name in this area, and you make judgments off of them by those last names. I'll give an example. There's a guy that is probably getting ordained this year, and in the Wesleyan Church, and in one of our interviews, he told us, he said, and then he said his last name, he says, I'm not supposed to be in ministry. Said, if you know my family's name in our community, we're definitely not ministry material. And he said, Nathan knows, because he's from Randolph County. And I said, yep. I said, that's how I know this is real. That's how I know you're really called. Because you judge people based off their last name. We do that today. How about this? We judge people based off their political preference. They're a liberal Democrat. They're a conservative Republican. We make assumptions about them based off those things. Or how about this? Color of their skin. We make judgments on them based off the color of their skin. Or how about this one? By what they wear. Are they dressed up? Are they wearing ragged clothing? I'm sure you've seen this story on Facebook. I don't know if it was a new pastor or what. I don't remember the story exactly. But a pastor showed up to his church, and he chose to disguise himself as a homeless man. And he walked in the church, and he sat towards the back. And I don't think anybody in the church spoke to him, because they judged him based off of his appearance. He's a homeless man. Let's keep our distance from him. Let's stay away from him. So the time came in the service for the pastor to get up to preach, and here comes this homeless man walking to the stage and stands up to preach, and I guess he takes his disguise off and reveals himself as the pastor, and he uses that as an example of how they shouldn't be judging people based off their outward appearance. Shouldn't be judging people based off what they're wearing, by how they look, by how they smell. Because if he came in there dressed as a preacher with a suit and tie, everybody would have been up around him, talking to him. We make judgments on people based off of how they look. He proceeded to basically scold them. They need to be welcoming to everybody, not just the people that they like. They shouldn't judge people based off their appearance. There's no reason to judge anyone based off of any of these measuring sticks I just listed, because the Word of God doesn't lean one way or another on these things. Instead, what we should do is look at what is said in the Word of God and judge a person solely off of that. See whether their life is being lived according to the Word of God. And when I say that we're judging people based off the Word of God, guess what the Word of God also says? That we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we understand that people are going to fall short. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to live this measuring stick perfectly either, but we understand that. So we allow for that mercy to be shown, because God allows that mercy to be shown in our life. And we better be willing to have that mercy shown in others. So we measure, our judgment should be according to God's word after careful reflection. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But in other words, look at your own life to see if your life is being lived according to the word of God. No one wants to be around someone that holds everyone else to a higher standard than themselves. So you have to make sure you hold yourself to God's standard. This is done for a couple of reasons. Number one, it makes you a more effective follower of God. It forces you to look at your life. And when you think about it, if you're living this out, every time you look at someone else, you should be looking at yourself. So it should increase the frequency that we're examining our own life. But if you're constantly looking at your own life and you're constantly trying to deal with the areas that you fall short, then that should provide some authenticity to our judgment about someone else. Because that leads into the last part of our judgments. Our judgment should be delivered to people in a grace-filled way to make a person a more effective follower of Jesus. This is why you make judgments in the first place. Some people will make judgments just so that they can stay on their high tower and not go down to the lowly people. Some people just sit, some people are people watchers. So they're sitting in the restaurant or they're sitting wherever and they're making judgments on everybody there. Our judgments, though, should be for the purpose to make other people better followers of Jesus. Not to tear them down, not to make ourselves feel better, not to condemn them, but to help them become a better follower of Jesus. This is part of what we are called to do as fellow believers. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How are we to sharpen one another? How are we to make each other better followers of Jesus if we don't take the time to actually look at what is going on in someone's life and judge what's going on in order to help them? See, people who like to quote, especially in the church, that say, do not judge or you too will be judged, they don't like to talk about 1 Corinthians 5:12, where Paul says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? But are you not to judge those inside? And he's saying this in the context of a sin that the church in Corinth is dealing with, and he's telling the church to kick this guy out of your fellowship. That you should have judged this guy, that you should have figured out that this guy is not following Jesus, and you've tried talking to him, you've tried reaching him, and he's just not interested, and so at this point, you have to kick him out of the church to protect the fidelity of the church. You got to judge. We are called to judge one another. We are to judge people by their fruits, especially Christians. But we don't do that. Going back to what I said at the first point, we don't do that to condemn them. We don't do that to say, hey, you're bad, we're done with you, moving on. You do that in order to disciple them to become a more committed follower of Jesus. And so when I wrote this sermon initially, I was just going to talk about what happens when we get bad judgments. But then I realized that I was falling for the thinking that we fall for in the world today, that all judgments are bad. But really, when you make judgments, you come to one of two conclusions. It's a bad judgment, or it's a good judgment. Sometimes we judge someone and we're like, man, that person's awesome. Man, I want to be around that person. Man, I want to talk to that person. I want to get close to that person. But sometimes we make a judgment about someone else's life and we realize, hey, something needs to change there. So if we see that a judgment that we make about someone is a bad, we need to handle that wisely. And man, have we not handled that wisely in the church in the past. How many times have you seen someone make judgments about someone and then gossip about them? Tell everybody else what your judgment is. Never speak to that person. Or how about we make a judgment about someone and we never discuss it with them and find out that we're actually wrong in our judgment. There's been so many times where I've made judgments about people that then when I actually sat down and talked with them and learned their story and learned what's going on in their life and learned their past and learned some of the other dynamics that are working their life, it explained their actions and it changed my judgment. But yet, we're so bad about just judging what's on the surface. Or how about we make a judgment on people, but we approach them with the I got you attitude. We come in with the Simon Cowell approach. Hey, you're a horrible person. I'm going to go tell the pastor. I'm going to go tell this. I'm going to go tell that. You're done here. You're out of power. When we approach someone who is in the wrong, we've got to do it in a grace-filled way. Reminding them first that we are for them, or at least you should be. You should never be approaching someone to tear them down. You realize a Christian should never be against anybody, really. A Christian should always be for them, not against them. We should always be trying to help. We should always be trying to help them see the blind spot that they may have in their life. And so, my advice to you is be smart about it when you do approach them. Make sure that the time, the place, and the people who are doing the talking, that matters. I always tell couples, try not to have the in-depth conversations at night when you're both tired from working all day. You're making judgments about your spouse throughout the day. Don't try to address those judgments when everybody's tired. That's not a good time. Or how about place? So many don't do it in public. You know, like take them in private. Talk with them one-on-one, and we're getting ready to read that in a second. And then there's been times where I've made mistakes in our church where I have brought in the wrong people with me to help me address issues. And because the wrong people were there, it escalated in ways that it shouldn't have. And so make sure that the right person's doing the talking. And then sandwich it with good news. You can look at someone's life and you can see that there's good in their life. So tell them the good, and then tell them the bad, and then follow up with the good. It bluntens the bad that's in the middle, but also it still gets the point across. So when you make a judgment about someone and it's bad, address it with them. And if you do it in the right way, you leave the response ultimately up to them. Sometimes they respond in a good way. Matthew 18:15 says that if your brother sins, and the only way you would know if they sin is if you judge that they sin, go and show him his fault in private, and if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. Sometimes people don't respond well, though. So Jesus, continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 6, he says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under the feet and turn and tear you to pieces." So this is a saying that was back then, and so the holy and the pearls refer to the advice that you're giving. When you look at this in context here, the holy thing that you're giving to the dogs and the pearls that you're giving to the pigs, that would be the advice. That would be the judgment you're making. The dogs or the pigs would be the ones receiving it. And dogs and pigs were not looked at in good ways back then. So, in other words, what Jesus is saying here is that they're not going to value what you say. So it might be best that you don't say it at all for right now. Because what they'll do instead is they'll turn back and tear you to pieces. Have you ever legitimately been trying to help someone and you told them the truth and they turned around and tore you to pieces? Me, for sure. Happens more times than I would like. There's still one case that's coming to my mind right now that just still burdens me to this day. Someone that was caught in sin, and we tried addressing it in a grace-filled way, but they were not ready to receive it and turned around and tore us to pieces. If that happens, here is what Jesus lays out in Matthew 18 for us to do. So first, you're supposed to address it with them one-on-one. Next, he says in Matthew 18:16-17, if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, every matter may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then and only then is he to be a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, you're to kick him out of the church. This is someone that doesn't have a repentant heart, that doesn't want to hear what they're doing wrong, and is refusing to listen to the truth as laid out in God's word. Here's something I have learned, and this is one of the hardest things, I think, for me, is that sometimes the best thing you can let someone do is let them wallow in their pit before they become humble enough to change. Sometimes you've got to let things get worse before things are going to get better. And that is what Jesus is getting to here. Same thing when Paul told them to kick that guy out of the church. Paul was following this. Paul was following what Jesus taught here. They made a judgment about this guy. He's in the wrong. He's not repentant. Kick him out. But you don't do that just to say, hey, I'm done with you. Even then, it's not a condemning judgment because you hope that person comes back. But what Paul says is hand them over to Satan. In other words, let them wallow in their pit of sin so that their life will hit rock bottom so that hopefully they come back to Jesus. I always tell people when I'm having a intense conversation with them, or I'm trying to address something, I always tell them that if I'm talking to them, it means I have not given up on them. That we've not reached in that step in the process. That if I'm talking to them, that means that I still believe in them. That I believe that they can be good, and I believe that they're still repentant and wanting to listen. But now if I have stopped talking to you, if I have backed off, I haven't fully given up on you yet, but it means that I don't think you're receiving what I think God is leading me to say, and so I'm not going to waste my time. My energy needs to be devoted somewhere else. Now, don't ever cast someone off completely. Always leave a chance there for repentance. But what I do is I do choose to stop investing as much if I see they aren't listening. So that was if our judgment is bad. But how many times have we made judgments about people that are good? And then we don't tell them. You know, why is it that we only tell them the bad judgments, we don't tell them the good judgments? We need, when we see someone and we know that they're doing something good, we judge that it is good, we need to tell them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. Because don't you know there's enough voices that are out there trying to tear us down? There's enough people trying to judge us and look at us and trying to push us down and condemn us. Maybe it's even ourselves in our mind, constantly judging ourselves in negative ways. Or the devil, who's constantly trying to tear you down. This is when the church can step up and be who God has called us to be. If you judge something good is happening in someone else's life, tell them, encourage them, celebrate them, and get close to them. When you, every friend that you have in your life is probably someone that you judged that you wanted to be closer to. And so you got closer to them. That's the type of people, if you see that they're bringing good out of their life, that's the type of people you should want close to you. That's the type of people you should want to be around. That's why I eat with David, sometimes twice a week. My grandma's gotten on to me for joking about him too much, so let's brag on him a little bit. So grandma, maybe listen to this. You know, David is an excellent greeter. I don't worry about our greeting. David was out for a couple months one time with a sickness, and I worried about greeting then. But I don't worry about our greeting. I don't have any doubt that he's going to get their name when they come in, and he's going to welcome them back the next time they come. He is a terrific greeter. We went to a church conference a few years ago, and they told us that what we should be doing is getting people's names down, writing it down, and then that way when they come back, you can call them by their name and how much that means to them. And I'm like, dude, our guy's already doing this. He didn't even know he was already a professional, but he might as well be a professional. So we paid him like a cent or something like that for being such a good greeter. But he really is. He's not only a greeter, but he's one of my friends. He's someone that I've judged that I want to be closer to. Someone that I've judged that adds to my life in positive ways, even if he didn't wish me a happy birthday yesterday, which I'm a little sour about. Anyway, Angela didn't remind you. I don't know. But he should have it in his calendar. If he was a good friend, he'd have it in his calendar. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's judging, isn't it? But when we make good judgments about people, let's tell them. You know, I was thinking about American Idol. You know, American Idol kind of shut down there for a little bit. Now it's back up with Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and some other guy judging. There's a new TV show out, and it's not new anymore, but a new show came out after American Idol that really took off, and it's now, I would say, probably the more popular show, and it's The Voice. And what I loved about The Voice is they're not called judges. They're called coaches. And I think even though they're judging, so if you've watched the show, they turn the chair around so they can't see the stage, they can't see the singer. So what they are doing is they're judging the people singing based solely off of their talent. Not how they look, not how big or small they are, or how pretty or ugly they are. They are judging them solely based off of their talent. And then if they think that their talent is good enough, they hit their button, they turn around, and they're guaranteed to be on the show. They're judging, but they're not called judges. They're called coaches. When I think about how God has called us to judge, that's more like this than American Idol. American Idol is choosing who goes through, who is good, who is bad, so on and so forth. And sometimes, I mean, Simon Cowell used to be straight up ugly with them. But even on this show, when their singing is not that great, they all turn around at the end, and what they do is they give advice. They say, hey, you might even want to work on your pitch a little bit, then come back and see us. Or, hey, you need to work on this a little bit, come back and see us. I've never seen them tear a contestant down in any way. They're always nice. They're always hoping for their good, the good of the people that are in the show. This is how we are to judge. Not the American Idol version, this one. We should view ourselves as coaches to other people. That what does the coach do? He judges what his players are doing good and what his players are doing bad, and he changes their approach. That's how we are to approach one another. All of our judgments should be based on discipleship. I'm on it's called the District Board of Ministerial Development for our denomination, for our district. And our job is literally to judge people who are in the ministerial track, who are wanting to become pastors. Our job is literally to judge them to see whether they are fit to be pastors or not. I'm pretty new on this board, but I bet you I've done 25 interviews now. Getting to speak with people, hear their story, meet with them, and then right now we're going through some ordination interviews, people who are getting ordained, and it's an hour and 30-minute interview in front of about 10 of us who are asking questions and just examining their life to see what's going, see if we think they are fit to be pastors. We ask them deep questions. We ask them questions about theology. We ask them questions about their personal life, their family's life, their church's life, so on and so forth. And man, when I was going through the first part of this sermon, I realized I had made some wrong judgments. There's been some that I've judged was liberal based off of their hair color and based off of where they live and based off of some things I've seen or heard. Let's just say heard from Facebook or heard from other people. And then we get in there and we meet with them. And there's not a liberal bone in their body, I don't think. They're very conservative when it comes to the scriptures. They're very conservative when it comes to God's word. There was nothing in their life that did not align with this. Now, they might vote differently than me in the election. They might be politically liberal. But biblically, they were on God's word. They answered all of our questions correctly, and they'll be ordained this year. There's been times where I've made judgments on others in those meetings that I'm like, man, I don't know if they're that good or they're ready. So when we make judgments and we realize they're not ready or there's something in their life that shouldn't be there, we don't say, hey, you're done. Good luck. We encourage them. We disciple them. We try to figure out how we can help them become the best pastor that they can be. And there's times, too, where our interview is like, man, that person is awesome. And so we make sure we tell them that. We encourage them. We push them to continue to grow into their gifting. That's the type of judgments we should be making with people. Not the bad judgment where we're judging based off the color of their hair or based off some things that we've heard from other people. Let's actually get to know them and see what they say then. And this person, I realized, was doing more ministry than I've done in my entire life. They literally their house is their church. They have people show up at 11 o'clock at night to come to church, or basically because they're in need. That's ministry. That's church right there. We have to make our judgments all about discipleship. All about bringing them closer to Jesus, all about trying to help them, because you should be for them, not against them. So, to end today, in the last 35 seconds I have, who have you made a judgment on that you need to speak to? Good or bad? If it's a bad judgment, you need to follow what Jesus said about addressing that with somebody. If it's a good judgment, please tell them. tell them about what good you're seeing in their life. Tell them about what you're seeing in their life that is shining Jesus through them into the world. If it's bad, pray. See how God leads you, then act. Always lead it with prayer to see where God's leading you. So, I hope that you understand today as I close that judging is not a big no-no. We just need to judge with the right heart and the right ways and for the right reasons. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.